Good, Vach. This is Yisachar Wartel. And believe it or not, we're back to Bereshit. The long season of Chagim is over, but obviously our work is far from done. And Bereshit just brings us back to the beginning as part of a long cycle. And unfortunately, we don't really get the time to do it justice, as we basically have, you know, half a week to do one of the most expansive and intriguing parshiot in all of Torah, if not the most. So I just wanted to just share one of those millions of pieces which we could potentially share. I wanted to kind of connect a couple different aspects of this week's parsha, the first one being Kain and Hevel, and then we'll kind of work backwards a little bit. So quickly after reading the sin of the Eitz HaDaat, the sin of eating from the tree, we are introduced to two new individuals, which are Cain and Hevel, or Cain and Abel in English. The story between them is actually a powerful series of lessons about effort, teshuva, accountability. But there's also perhaps something that might be overlooked that's a lesson within the names themselves. The Torah explains how Cain got his name, as Chava stated, Kaniti Ish et Hashem, I've acquired a man with Hashem, but we're left no explanation for how his brother got his name. The pasuk simply states, right? And she continued to give birth to his brother Hevel. So it seems as though Hevel's naming was actually meaningless and unimportant. And in fact, the word Hevel actually means nothing or futile. Hevel briefly appears on the scene, killed by his brother and gone without any progeny almost as soon as he arrives. So in essence, he is, you know, really, what's the point? I mean, obviously we have the whole lesson of Cain and Hevel, but what are we exactly supposed to learn from this? It's no coincidence that what we just read last Shabbos from Kohelet was a book that uses the word Hevel over and over and over again, meaning nothingness, futility. Shlomo HaMelech insists that everything on earth is futile and that all that matters is Hashem, but reading between the lines, we see that many things that are often seen or function as Hevel have in actuality a way to raise their spiritual dimension up so that they're no longer Hevel. By utilizing something for a mitzvah or to fulfill Hashem's will, one raises the object or aspect out of futility and to a purposeful existence. Another example that Shlomo HaMelech gives is in the last parak of Mishle, part of what is famously known as Eshet Chayil, which, you know, many of us sing every Friday night, where he writes, Sheker Hachein VeHevel HaYofi, grace is false and beauty is Hevel. Often translated as vain, but grace is not always false. What about the grace of Hashem? Chayin Hashem. Of course, it's not vain. So that's the absolute truth. That's emes. How could that be Hevel? So beauty, when looked at superficially, is vain and often futile because it's not going to last. Right? The person's beautiful at this point, face, whatever it is, body, whatever it is, it's beautiful for now, but it's not going to last. But true beauty that emanates from the soul, from a place of Kedusha, that's the opposite of Hevel. That's something which will endure. That's something which has purposeful existence and is the opposite of futile. Apologize, the motorcycle outside. We can see that this illusion of Hevel in themselves, in the actual letters, Hey Bet Lamed, which can also be read as Habal, or that which is lacking. So Baal Bet Lamed means lacking, without, devoid of, etc., or that which is nothing. Chazal and many Mefarshim have taught that Baal can be turned around to form Lev, which means heart. And the reading of our parsha with Cain and Hevel follows on the heel of Simchat Torah and is therefore appropriate, as I'll explain. The sages institute that the Torah be read from the beginning immediately after it's finished. As we know, the general premise that it's not enough to finish something, we need to start the next parak, the next whatever it might be, so that we don't feel like, okay, we're done, that's enough. You know, we need to start, whether start a new chapter or go back to the beginning. So in this case, we end up with the word Yisrael, and then we start with the first word of the beginning of the Sefer Torah, which is Bereshit. So we go from a Lamed to a Bet, right? We have the Lamed in Yisrael, and the very next letter we come across is the Bet in Bereshit, right? Which makes Lev. But if you just look from the beginning to the end, then you start with the Bet in Bereshit, and the last letter is Lamed. Because if your whole purpose is just to get through the Torah and not to get, meaning if you just see it as like a one and done, then that's Hevel. It's Baal. It's meaningless, right? You have to be able to want to go deeper each time. All right, we finished one cycle. Let's go to the next year. Let's go to the next cycle. Let's look into it deeper and deeper each year. Then you're looking at it from the perspective of Lamed, of Yisrael, and then we're going to the next level of Bereshit, level 2, level 3, level 4, wherever deeper insights. Now that we already went through it once, now we go through it more with a fine-tooth comb and look at the, you know, the drash, pshat, you know, all the different levels that we can go through. So instead of it being from Baal and Hevel, we go to a lathe, right? That shows that something that is nothing or futile can actually become something quite important. Furthermore, the word Hevel actually begins with the letters Hav, which means to give, part the root of the word Ahav. Kayin was about being Mekana, acquiring, whereas Hevel was about giving. Hevel was willing to give the best of his livestock to Hashem, but Kayin only gave what was inferior to have the best for himself. And the Midrash teaches us, based on the language of the Pasuk, that one can infer that Kayin had to rise up to kill his brother. Originally, after picking with Hevel, Hevel overpowered him, but was filled with compassion. His urge for Baal transformed into Lev. Right? So, it's a little bit, I'm not sure if I'm really explaining it well, but his essence, which on a certain level was meaningless, he was able to transform himself into Lev, that he actually became a compassionate individual, Hevel, that is, right? And he gave his best to his livestock. He really cared. So therefore, Kayin actually had to rise in a negative way in order to kill his brother because he wasn't on this level. And he took advantage of Hevel's transformation and his compassion, where so Hevel essentially let his guard down as an opportunity to slay his brother and was forced to bear a reminder for 7 generations that he was the one who killed Hevel. So it was an ongoing reminder, when you actually have potential for something, when you transform a lathe back to Baal, when you transform something that's purposeful and meaningful into something that's negative, you're forced to face the consequences, whether eternally or for a significant period of time, which is symbolized by 7 generations. Kayin caused Hevel to yield only the basic meaning of his name and nothing more. Kayin, unfortunately, caused Hevel to become Hevel, right? To live up to his name, so to speak. Hevel could have been much more. He could have been Halev. He could have been the compassion and ushered a whole new intergeneration of humanity. But instead, Kayin caused Hevel to remain Hevel, nothing, no one to really be remembered. And Torah wants to make sure that we remember that, right? Because Hevel could have been so much more, and Hevel in general can be so much more than just being futile. It can be utile, right? Meaning it can have a utility, and it can be more than just a regular utility. It can be the purpose of our existence. And just to wrap off, the word Hevel, in which the letters Hey Bet are coupled with the letter Lamed, the letter Lamed is connected mystically with the notion of Limud, learning, and the notion of, well, of rising above, as the letter Lamed rises above, and going beyond, which is, signifies it by its height. So we must take what is Hevel in this world, what we are given, right, Hav, what we give and what we are given, and we must raise it up, right? We must take what we are given and rise it back up into the world of the Lamed, the upper world, the spiritual world, to elevate that which we are given, to give it a higher meaning and purpose. And only then can we merit to see the grace or the chen of Hashem and the true Yofi beauty of the world, which we'll hopefully see when Mashiach comes. I see that I have 2 minutes remaining. So I just wanted to talk very, very briefly about some ideas about going from Shemini Atzeret into the rest of the year. There is a notion of going through kind of like a process. We're reaching a pinnacle. Obviously, there's multiple pinnacles. You know, there's one pinnacle of Yom Kippur, but then we go even beyond that, which is the Sukkos. But Sukkos is, you know, as many, many rabbis have said, and I've even heard again, this Sukkos, Shemini Atzeret, it goes even beyond that, right? Sukkos is really for the world. It's kind of like a special festival for us, but it also represents the Umas Olam, the 70 nations. We brought sacrifices for them. Shemini Atzeret is a special day for us to go to the letter 8, to go even beyond the realm of nature. So what happens? But it also brings us back down to earth. Because what happens right after Shemini Atzeret? We're back in the regular world. We're back in the world of seemingly Hevel. But we have the reminder. What was the day that brought us into Hevel? It was the day of Simchat Torah, the day that we completed the Torah, in which we went from Bet to Lamed. So even though we're entering this world of Hevel, now that we're, I mean, obviously we have, you know, Shabbos and things like that, which is extremely important, but we're devoid now of these holidays, and we have to go back to our everyday mundane lives, and we can get lost in the shuffle and unfortunately fall away and make things, you know, ordinary or even worse, futile. we have to look at it and see, no, we're going to turn it around and we're going to make it bow to a lathe. We're going to put our heart into it. We're going to make it something, and we're going to elevate it like the Lamed. We're going to take what we learn, and we're going to take what we give, and we're going to rise it up to go above and beyond, to raise it to the next level and to help raise up the world as we are meant to do as an Orla Goyim and as the Am Segula that Hashem made us. Shabbat Shalom.